Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we say unto the Lord, thank you for loving me. Glory be to your holy name. We praise you, we glorify you, we give you all the honor due unto you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, we praise you, Lord. We honor you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, transmitting here on Blog Talk Radio, international radio that goes worldwide. I want to say hello to my friends in Europe and the other side of the world. I know it's dark over there. It's nighttime. So Some of you are sleeping, and some of you are listening to the archives, and some of you are listening directly from the phone, radio, and the computer. What I'd like to share with you that you can call the station anytime in this hour, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the studio host. Glory be, glory be, glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That beautiful song, Thank You for Loving Me. It's a song that my wife and I chose when we got married. Thank You for Loving Me. It has a double meaning. It's a song sang by Jovi, J-O-V-I. Glory be to the Lord. And it has a double meaning. Thank you for loving me. It is an appropriate song for the topics that we're talking about. She went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago, and I want to thank the Lord for that. And I know one day I'm going to see her again. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've been talking on Thursdays. Our main subject, what's next? What's going on? What's going to happen next? You know, a lot of people were dealing with the eclipse that happened this past Monday. Some even said Christ is coming on that day. But the Bible said no one knows the hour or the day. Hallelujah. Only the Father knows. Glory be to the Lord. We just got to be ready every day. Hallelujah. We have to be ready every day. We can't wait to get ready. We must be ready. If you look at the Galilean wedding, I would recommend that you look at the movie The Day Before the Wrath. It talks about the Galilean wedding. The bride, once she accepts everything, not only chooses her bridal dress, but she's always ready every day. She's ready because she doesn't know when the bridegroom is coming to get her. In the Galilean wedding, once the bridegroom accepts and she drinks a cup of wine like we drink in our communion service, she goes forward with the virgins, with her bridesmaids, and gets ready. She has a special bath that the bridegroom was a sister with, and she's waiting for the bridegroom. He goes off to build a room in his father's house because that's where they're going to consummate the marriage. And he invites everybody to join him, and he prepares the wedding feast for at least 7 days. In those days, a wedding would last 7 days. Glory be to the Lord. And most of the time, the whole town will be involved. So he's got to get the feast ready, and he's got to make sure that he has enough for everyone. Glory be to the Lord. So we were talking what's next. And the reason we brought up a Galilean wedding is because the next event that we, the born-again Christians, are waiting for is the second coming of Christ, the rapture. The first part one is the rapture. Part two is his return to the earth. Part one is we're going to meet him in the air. Glory be to the Lord. And we know that his second coming is divided into two phases. Phase one is the rapture. Phase two is the return. We've been dealing with the rapture as being the next event to occur, the rapture of the saints. And we broke it up into six parts. This is the fifth part that we're going to deal with today. But these are the parts that we dealt with before. Number one, the rapture will cause the saints of God to be taken to heaven. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air. He's not going to come to the earth like the return. So this is where a lot of people who don't believe in the rapture, they make the mistake. A lot of people believe that he's coming to the earth on the rapture, but they have a big mistake. They they need to learn how to study the Bible and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten you correctly. The first event, the rapture of the saints, will be to the clouds. We're going to meet Christ in clouds. Number two, Christ will not touch the earth at the rapture. Believers will meet him in the air. And sure enough, that's exactly what it says. We're going to read that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. We're going to read that again. It's very important that we read that because, you know, a lot of people are saying that the rapture theory is something brand new that occurred in the 1800s. No, no. This event has been in the Bible since the conception of the Bible, since the Holy Spirit wrote the word down through the holy men. This rapture has been there. The problem with a lot of people is that they fail to study the Bible correctly. They look at one version and they go by that version. But if you go back, and most people now these days are reading the American Standard, NIV, King James. I love the King James, but you have to look at before the King James. If you study how we got our Bible, you're going to understand that Tyndale and Wycliffe wanted to develop a Bible that even the common boy could understand the Bible even better than the bishops. Because at that time, the Catholic Church was running everything. But Martin Luther, he nailed his 95 theses pages to the door of the church. It started the Reformation. So the Catholic Church was dealing with the Reformation. But in the same time, those leaders were trying to get Tyndale and Wycliffe to kill them because they didn't want the common person to read it. And so a lot of them fled to Switzerland, to Geneva, and they developed the Geneva Bible. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Wycliffe was killed one day. He died. They burned him. They killed him. They burned him at the stake. They buried his bones. Eventually what they did, they took the bones out, burned them completely. Then they threw the ashes in the water, Wycliffe, because of what he did. He followed up with Tyndale. And Tyndale, when they put him on the stake, they strangled him first, and then they burned him alive. These guys gave their life for a cause that you and I sometimes take for granted. You know, we understand through the statistics that the Bible is the number one book in the world that is sold more than any other book combined. Glory, every year, glory be to the Lord. But what happened in Geneva, Switzerland, well, they developed the Geneva Bible in different categories. I have the 1560, I have the 1599, and I have the Matthew Bible, which is part of the Geneva Bible. But these have a lot of calligraphy writings. It takes a time for you to decipher it. But the 1599, it's rewritten the Geneva Bible in the common English language. Yes, there are some texts that you need to decipher, but if you look at the Geneva Bible, it's different in one sense than the King James Bible. Although the King James Bible is about 95% Tyndale work, same thing with the Geneva Bible, it's about 95 to 100% Tyndale and Wycliffe work, that the common person could read it. And that's what happens. If you don't go back and you don't study what occurred prior to the King James, prior to 1600, you're going to realize you're missing a lot because, you know, the Catholic Church was dealing with the Reformation. So the Reformation had Bibles and a lot of Catholic Church, they wanted to combat that. The Bible, so they wrote the Matthew. They wrote the big Bible, the Bishop's Bible, you know, and they settle on a word. When you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, where it talks about a departing, they settle for a rebellion. The King James settled for falling away. But when you read the Geneva says there'll be a departing first. and we're going to read that. So it's very important that you read and study your word. Don't take it for granted that what's going on now, everything will be okay. It's not okay. The NIV there's about 75,000 words missing. There is the latter part of chapter 16 of Mark missing. And they have a little commentary. It says that these was not in the original. It was in the original. It's just that, you know, they want to use the enemy is attacking the word of God, like he did in the beginning when he questioned the word of God to Eve. Had God said, he questioned the word. And so is we have Bibles that now change words. Like I love the parallel Bible too, but sometimes, you know, it changes the context, the word. So we have to be very careful, you know, what we study. So, and what you carry. I carry the King James, but my go-to Bible is the Geneva Bible. That is the one that I have. That's the one that I study because that is true. That's the one that the pilgrims brought over to the New World when the New World, America, was established. Pocahontas and all the other Indians was saved, was converted because they used the Geneva Bible, a true version of the Word of God. The third thing that we went over, the rapture is before the seven-year tribulation. And we understand that it's going to be before because God promised, if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, he says in his word, that we was not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:10, he said he will keep us out of the hour of temptation, not through, but out of. And how is he going to keep us out of? By us being raptured. That's why in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, come up hither. John was the top of the church. Come up hither. There was an open door, and we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. And number four, Jesus is coming to resurrect the righteous dead. And that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 says, that Christ would descend in the clouds with the voice of the archangel, which with a large sound, with a trumpet sound, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. So that's what happens. God is bringing with him those that have gone before us, and they'll be reunited with a glorified body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And they're going to be taken to the air. We that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and we're going to meet Christ in the clouds. Glory be to the Lord. Today we're dealing, the rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. He cannot be revealed until the saints be taken out of the earth. And we're going to read that also in scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Again, if you want to call us here at the station, your host is The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, and we're dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's in two phases. Phase number one is the rapture. Today, we're going to be looking at 1A5, the fifth part that we have, and most of it is verses that we have for you to study, and you should jot them down and study them. If you have a question, you could always contact Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. You could also reach out to the church via email, wtltabernacle@gmail.com. Or you could call the pastor cell after 8 o'clock, 772-626-3178. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we'll continue the conversation then. The first thing we have to understand, the rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. He's not going to be revealed right now. So God did not call us to look for the Antichrist. He said for us to be looking up for our redemption drawing nigh. When we see all these things happening, we see convergence of a lot of things that's happening in this world. We are to look up for the redemption drawing nigh. We are not going to be around when the Antichrist is revealed. If you study your scriptures correctly, the church won't be around. He cannot be revealed until the saints be taken out of the earth. Once we are out, then he's going to be revealed, because there's going to be such calamity in the tribulation. You know, there's going to be a lot of chaos, and people are going to be looking for the Messiah. People are going to be looking for a person that will bring peace to the earth. And this Antichrist will be revealed, and he will bring peace to the earth. And he makes a covenant contract with Israel for 7 years. Unfortunately, though, at 3.5 years, he wants to sit in the temple as God. He brings the abomination of desolations into the temple, image of himself, and he and the false prophet will cause everyone to take a mark of the beast and to worship the image of the beast. And those that don't, they're going to be beheaded. So there's going to be a lot of chaos, a lot of problems, and Israel is going to say, no, you are not God. How are you going to sit in the temple? And so he's going to slaughter 2/3 of Israelites there in Jerusalem, and 1/3 will run to the hills. They will run to Petra and be saved. And the Bible says all Israel will be saved. Yes, those 1/3, the remnant that goes to Petra will be saved, because they're going to realize Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the real Messiah. And unfortunately, when the high priest read the insignia above Jesus' head that Pontius Pilate wrote, he said, "This is Jesus Christ, King of the Jews." They ran to him, the high priest ran to Pontius Pilate and say, "Don't say that he's the king of the Jews. Say that he says he's the king of the Jews." In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 9. But Pontius Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." And the reason for that is because in the Jewish language, they take the first letter of each word and see if there's a secret meaning. And what is spelled out was Yohweh, and that is the tetragram, the name of God. And so to them, it says that they crucified God, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, as we begin our study in today's lesson, that the Antichrist won't be revealed until the rapture, until the saints are taken out of the earth. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 down through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Hallelujah. Let me just give you a little something, because a lot of people go around and they say, "We don't believe in the rapture because that word is not found in the Bible." Well, when you look at the English translation of the Greek word harpazo, there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, the word that they translated from harpazo is called caught up. When you look at the Latin Vulgate, rapimo is there. Rapimo is the Latin Vulgate word for rapture. Hallelujah. So the word is there, is just not found in the English translation. Just like you're not going to find the word Trinity, you're not going to find the word Bible and many others. So you can't go by that. But the concept and the revelation of the Holy Spirit is there, showing us the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Antichrist will be revealed before. The Antichrist will be revealed after the rapture takes place, after the saints are taken out of the earth. Let's go on to our second verse. And I'm encouraging you to list these down and look them up yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation of these words. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning from verse 1 to 3, and then 6 and 7. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our assembly unto him." That word assembly is another word that speaks about the rapture. "Our assembly unto him, that you be not suddenly moved from your mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as it were from us, as though the day of Christ were at hand." And I'm reading from the Geneva Bible. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a departing first, and that man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition." Hallelujah. So you see what happens, my brothers and sisters, that when Christ comes in the clouds, what's going to happen is we're going to be departing. We're going to, just like you get in the plane, it departs from Florida and it ends up in New York. That's what's happening. We're going to depart. We are going to go from the earth to the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. Let's go on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, "And now you know what we hold it, that he might be revealed in his time," talking about the Antichrist. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he which now withholdeth it shall let till he be taken out of the way." And so, my brothers and sisters, what it's talking about here is the Holy Spirit in us. Glory be to the Lord. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit in us, he will deliver us up into the clouds to meet Christ in the air. He will take us up to the clouds. So when he leaves, we leave. And that's what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit in us is was holding back the revelation of the revealing of the Antichrist. Why? Because we born again Christians, we pray, we study the Bible, we're doing the will of God. And we're going to continue to pray and do the will of God until God says, that's enough. We're going to go. That's enough. The last Gentile was saved, and the gospel message went out throughout the whole world. And my patience lasts a long time, and I was willing that all will be saved, but some have chosen not to accept my forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So they're going to be left behind, and they're going to deal with the tribulation, and they're going to deal with the judgment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 3, and 6 to 7, and this is the New Testament, and these are words, prophetic words. Now we're going to go into the first prophetic book in the Old Testament, and it's Daniel. And we're going to go through several verses of Daniel. Then we're going to jump to the New Testament prophetic book, which is Revelation. And hopefully we'll get through that today. Hallelujah. Again, if you want to call us, if you have any questions, comments, or testimony, you could call us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the host and be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you have a question or comment or testimony, we'll stop the program. We could always do part two next week. It's very important that your questions or anything you bring will be answered to. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're not sure of the concept of the rapture, I would encourage you, my brothers and sisters, write these verses down, look them up, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation as to the rapture. We have the Logos word, which is the black and white word that we have written down. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the Rhema word, the revelations of it. Then we will be able to understand a little bit more what God is saying to us. So let's go over to Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 23 and 24 and see what the word of God says. Daniel 9:23-24. At the beginning of the supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So we understand that there was an angel sent to Daniel. Gabriel was sent to Daniel to give him understanding of what's going on and what happened, and to give him understanding of the vision that Daniel had seen. Then it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High, the Most Holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this is the revelation of the prophecy of the vision that Daniel had. And the angel came, he was sent from God to give Daniel an understanding of what was happening. So we know that Cyprus had conquered the Grecian Empire. So you had the Medo-Persian Empire, empire that ruled the nations. And Cyprus was one, and his son was another, who allowed the Jewish people to go back and rebuild the temple. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So what happened was that from the time that the order was given to rebuild the temple, the word of God says that Israel has 70 weeks. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and they were supposed to do certain things, and upon the holy city, number one, to finish the transgression. Number two, to make an end of sins. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up the vision and prophecy. And number six, to anoint the Most Holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when you calculate, when you go into the scriptures and you read when the order to rebuild Jerusalem, it was about 483 years totally. At that time, you know, it comes exactly to around the time that Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan by John. And when the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, that was his anointing. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So they were supposed to bring in righteousness. The people were used to following the law, but they broke the law every time. The Bible says if you break one commandment, you broke them all. So they tried to keep the commandment 613, You know, but God only gave them 10. The rest were added by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They look at the scripture and they said, this is a commandment, that's a commandment. And they put a heavy burden upon the people. Where if they would go with what Moses gave them, the Ten Commandments, you know, the burden would be wouldn't be as heavy as it was, 613. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 plus 7 is 69 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, and he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in 70 AD, when the people, the Titus and his army came, they destroyed Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant, talking about the Antichrist, with many for 1 week. And you have to understand that when the Bible talks about weeks, sometimes it talks about weeks of days, weeks of months, weeks of years. Here is weeks of years. So 1 week is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poor upon the desolate. So what's going to happen is that the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple as he's God. And he's going to want people to worship him. He's going to want people to give him all the honor and glory, which is due unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's going to bring an image into the temple. And the false prophet would want everybody to worship this false prophet. If you remember Daniel himself. Remember, Daniel was told to pray, not to pray the way he was praying. He was praying 3 times a day. He would face Jerusalem. But then what happened? Nebuchadnezzar created an image, right? And if you remember, those images have 4 different type of colors and metals. Well, Daniel got betrayed by some of the people that they were there to counsel the king, and Daniel was going to go into the den of lions because of his betrayal. Number one, when he was young and he was captured, him and the 3 Jewish boys did not eat at the king's table. That's number one. Then he did not pray to the God of Nebuchadnezzar. He was praying to the God of heaven and earth. But Nebuchadnezzar wanted him to pray to the image. So that's the same thing with the desolation of abomination of desolation. The Antichrist is going to bring an image to the holy temple, and he wants people to bow down and worship the image, right, to make him God. Let's go to Daniel 7, 20 to 23, 25, and see what the word of God says. Daniel 7, 20 to 25, it says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of the horn that had eyes and mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more shout than his fellows. So we see the horns of this animal growing, but there was another horn that grew. Well, right there, it's talking about, you know, the different kingdoms and empires that ruled against Jerusalem. But here we have another horn that grew and three fell. Well, the Antichrist, when he takes over the world, he's going to come out of the 10 nations, 10 kingdoms. And when he comes into power, three of them will give their power over to him. He will be ruling over all. And because of the three, the other seven turned around and gave him the power too. But he overtook three. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevail against them. And that's what's going to happen when the tribulation comes and the Jewish people do not accept him as the Messiah. He's going to make war with Jerusalem. He's going to make war with Israel, worse than what's happening now with Hamas, you know. And he's going to make war, and he's going to bring the armies of the earth against them. 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So when Jesus Christ comes back, what's going to happen? He's going to have an angel with a great chain to chain up Satan, cast him to the abyss, and he will be there for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And the saints will rule and reign with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Those are the 10 toes of the image of Nebuchadnezzar that were of clay and iron. And clay and iron do not mix. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And then the 10 horns out of the kingdoms are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. So right here, he's giving us a description of what verse 20 says. This Antichrist will be diverse than the other ones, and he will take over the three kingdoms, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. And he's going to speak blasphemous words against God from the temple, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Two-thirds, the Bible says, Amos and the other prophets says that two-thirds of Israel will be destroyed by the Antichrist. One-third will be saved. They'll go into the mountains. Remember when Jesus was talking to them, and he says there'll be two in the roof. One will be taken. One will be left behind. There'll be two in the mill. One will be taken. One will be Well, that's what's going to happen. You know, people are one-third is going to run to the hills. They're going to be saved. They're going to remember what the prophecy said, and they're going to be saved in the mountains of Petra. The others who stay in Jerusalem will be devastated, will be killed. The Bible says that the army of Antichrist will come and destroy the Jerusalem, and they rape a lot of the women and do whatever they want to do, worse than what Hamas has done. 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand unto a time and a times, and divided in time. That's 3.5 years. So there'll be 3.5 years of tribulation. You have a tribulation in the first 3.5 years. Then you have the Great Tribulation when the Antichrist comes against Israel at that time. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 8 of Daniel, and let's go to verse 9 through 12. see what that says. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. So we see this little horn that comes out of the beast, out of the 10 kingdoms. You know, it's going to be, he's going to be insignificant to some people. He's going to be a great military leader, a great religious leader, a great economic leader. And he's going to bring peace to the land for 3.5 years. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the hosts of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts. And by him the deadly sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the deadly sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down to the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prosper. So for 3.5 years, this Antichrist will reign, and he will do whatever he wants. He will take away the sacrifice from the temple, so the Jewish people won't sacrifice any longer. And he will look to change times. Because what happens is he's changed times. He's gone, you know, then the prophecies seem not to come to pass. But unfortunately for him, that the word is settled in heaven forever and ever. Let's go over to verse 23 and to 25. It says, and in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance. Who's that king of fierce countenance? But the Antichrist. And understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his land, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see here, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Antichrist will be empowered by Satan, and he will do whatever he wants to in the land. But he will be destroyed by when Christ comes back and he stands on Mount Olivet. He's going to speak the word out of the breath of his mouth, and the Antichrist and the Satan will be delivered into chains and to the lake of fire. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 11 from 21 to 49 and let's see what it says. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. So we're talking about the Antichrist being filled with Satan now, right? He's a vile person. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceable and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So he's not going to come with war. He's going to come like a dictator. He's going to come like a person of peace. He's going to conquer Jerusalem and conquer Israel by his saints. You know, like right now, we have the Jewish people. They looking to build the third temple, and they're looking for someone to stand up and bring peace to the land. And that's what's going to happen here. The Antichrist empowered by Satan, is going to bring peace to the land. For he makes a covenant for 7 years, but in the middle of the 7 years, that's where he changes everything. And with the arms of the flood shall he be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. He shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the flatness of place of the providence, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's father. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his device against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up the power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed off the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his own land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits, and then return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have indigence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And the arms shall stand up on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do not know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by famine, by captivity, by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be harping and with a little help, but many that cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall be he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stone and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of the land, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over the precious things of the earth, of Egypt and the Libyans, and the Ethiopians shall be as his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got about 3 minutes to go, and we're going to go to Revelations, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 20, 1 to 3. Hallelujah. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him unto the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. And let's finish off by Revelation 27 to 10. It says, and when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the seas. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and destroyed them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, one thing, brothers and sisters, Satan knows all this, but he's continuing to see if he could cause you to leave your faith. The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels, but because of the disobedience of man, hell has enlarged itself. So you have an opportunity today to ask God for forgiveness, repent of your sins, ask Christ to come into your heart and save you and become a born-again Christian. Don't wait, because the rapture could happen at any second. We have an imminent expectation that it will take place. It could happen right before the end of this show. It could happen by the end of the day. It could happen today, tomorrow. We're not sure. Got to be ready like those virgins. We got to be ready. Glory. Hallelujah. Like the Galilean wedding, the bride. The bride was waiting for his bridegroom. She was ready, waiting for him. So we're going to continue studying the word. Hallelujah. And glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Next Thursday, we're going to study the rapture will cause the great tribulation to begin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look at that. Hallelujah. The rapture caused a great tribulation to begin, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 through 18, and there's other verses, so I would encourage you to study. Glory be to the Lord. And after that, then we're going to go on to the return of Jesus Christ. Glory. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.